This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Here weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. This is Kelly and Company, Danielle McLaughlin and myself hosting the program today. First repeat of the show is at 5, then midnight, 5 a.m. in the morning Eastern time for the last one. And just remember, we love to hear from you, so drop us a line. Listen to the show whenever you can. We'll tell you a little later on how to check out the Kelly and Company podcast, but that's no trick. Just do a search through your favorite podcatcher. Well, Danielle, on Fridays, one of our favorite roundups to do is we like to spend time on tech during the week with the program and different angles of it. We get to hang out with John Beeler of The App Show, who brings us our weekly app update.
This is The App Show, unlocking software secrets for smartphones, tablets, TVs, and more.
John, I think we've got a pretty well-rounded network when we've got great shows like you guys bringing us apps on Saturdays on the network and you giving us a bit of a tease and an update through the week. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Sir, Google makes workplace productivity tools free for everyone. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, this is basically what Google has had for a while now. They rebranded last October from G Suite to Workspaces. Mm-hmm. And now they've sort of extended that. Previously, you had to have like kind of a paid account to access all those tools. Now anyone with a Google account can access them. So these are basically the online equivalents of, say, your Office Suite, for example. So really sort of featuring the collaboration aspect and being able to interact from any Google account with, you know, a spreadsheet, documents, files, all those kinds of things, which is really pretty amazing that they're just basically giving this away for free.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always been kind of like a version of it that's been free, but not the full suite of tools, which is really cool.
Well, it's nice when you see them committing to that, because obviously it costs money to upkeep it and do everything else. And so many others are, well, our suite you have to pay for. Do you think this will be the trend now with them doing this? Is it just a sign of the times that, hey, to compete, this stuff now has to just be a given and making everybody else kind of follow suit?
Well, I think it's one of the challenges that companies have is like you need to go all in on one platform.
Right.
And Google is really trying to make it easy for a company, you know, or a single freelance person, for example, to bet the farm on their suite, because they're adding additional features like, you know, the video hangouts, the chat functionality, and they're extending it from just the personal side to the business side as well. So they're trying to make it so that you really want to keep using those suites of tools. And if everyone has access to it now, that's only going to happen sooner.
One shop.
Yeah. And then they'll figure out ways to charge you for something later on, right?
Work. They are going to have a sort of like a premium version. They're right. Calling it Workspace Individual. And this is basically aimed at entrepreneurs and individuals that want to have, you know, some extra stuff like a professional video meeting setup, for example, and personalized email marketing, those kinds of things. So that'll be like a premium monthly fee that you'd pay. But the gateway drug will be the free tools, I think.
Sounds good. Free is my favorite price.
Exactly.
So Google is also doing something special. They're adding 7 new accessibility features to Android. What are these features?
Yeah, they've just had sort of their big sort of developer conference, and they've announced a number of new features as part of the new Android betas. And they're not all specifically accessibility based, but I thought I'd highlight a couple interesting ones. One of them is they're going to be encrypting all of your messages going forward now. This has always been sort of a challenge with on Android, because you're typically using SMS messaging and mm-hmm. it's not easy to encrypt those. But now with something called RCS, basically allows them to encrypt those messages. So anyone else that you're talking to, end to end, those would be encrypted. So that makes it that much more secure. They're adding a few other things too, like their earthquake alerts are coming to more countries, although not including Canada yet. And then the more interesting thing that they're doing is they're upgrading parts of like Google Assistant shortcuts. So this basically makes it more useful. So you can actually use your voice to sort of tell Google where to go on your phone. And they're making more features available to that functionality so that you're not just limited to like a handful of things. You can actually do a lot more. But what's really interesting, though, is they're not going to be listening to your conversations. They're using something called gaze detection so that they can tell if you're actually looking at your phone to try to do something versus talking with a coworker, for example, and not take that coworker conversation as directions to navigate your phone.
Mm. Boy, that's wild. That's a little scary too, actually.
That's interesting, but though, because I know so many people, especially if someone else has a device, if you're talking to yours, that'll trigger theirs. And there's so many interesting side cards that come from that, where you stop and say, hey, you know, this will be nice if that doesn't happen. And do we feel more secure if your phone or somebody else's phone isn't picking up our voice, John, when it comes to that and navigating or doing something that you don't want it to?
Yeah, well, I think that's the key point, is that your phone is being smarter about what conversations it's listening in on. So,
which is to ease our minds too, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the challenge that we have, and we've talked about this a lot before, is that these devices are always listening some way, right? So they're looking or listening for those keywords, those wake words, that type of thing, but they're still always listening. And it depends on your comfort level of having a device, basically, you know, a bug on your desk, listening to everything you're saying, and how much we trust Google or any provider with that information, and that they're going to do things, you know, correctly with that. So, but I think this, from an accessibility standpoint, this is a really good move, where it's going to be, you're going to get a lot less of those false directions and navigations happening. And like you mentioned, if you're talking to your phone and navigating, you're not going to be navigating my phone at the same time, right? Yeah, if we're in the same room. So
or
I think
you
that's
throwing my phone off if by chance I'm in the midst of something, trying to figure something out I need accessibility wise, I'm working on a shortcut, and all of a sudden you say something to yours that just, and I'm like, oh man, I got to start again. I think that's a really good positive thing on that accessibility. And like you say, the phone's always listening, so it knows when not to be listening, apparently.
I'm just curious about how the gaze detection will affect people with vision impairment.
That's a great, that's something I was wondering about too, because if, you know, if you're not looking at your phone anyways, but I also wonder if it's maybe something you can turn off. I haven't seen this functionality enabled yet, and I've got the Android beta installed yet, but I just haven't been able to find exactly where it is. It might be coming in a later update yet, but as soon as we figure that out, we'll be sure to let you know. But I'm pretty confident there'll be probably like a little switch that you can turn on or off that functionality.
IRL is a new social network taking on Facebook groups. Can you explain this?
Yeah, there's this new service called IRL in real life, and they just got a huge investment from for basically to go forward, which is really interesting, because this is a service that is basically taking on Facebook groups. And Facebook groups, you know, if you're not on Facebook, you don't know what those are. They're basically like forums. And the challenge that I think a lot of these groups have is that not everyone wants to be on Facebook.
Right.
So IRL sort of removes that part of the equation. And then they're offering a service that addresses that concern, that not everyone wants to be on Facebook, giving all of their personal information to Mark Zuckerberg. And so they've got a huge investment, which is interesting because they have 12 million active users using this service.
Wow.
But they have no revenue.
Yeah.
So I'm always concerned, like, well, how are you going to make money? How are you going to pay back this $170 million investment from investors? Because, you know, if it's free, there's some catch to it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, is your conversations being mined for marketing opportunities? I haven't actually used the service myself yet, but it does seem like it's growing in popularity, especially because of the fact it doesn't use Facebook. And I know I've lost a lot of friends in Facebook groups because they just deleted their app. They didn't want to be part of Facebook anymore. So I think these types of services will be more and more popular if they have enough of a support mechanism to actually withstand a huge onslaught of new users, which is always a problem with a startup, was they don't have the resources to properly scale up as they get more popular.
You always wonder how much is going to be, and I don't know how possible it is because you're trying to do a group. You don't need any extra traffic such as advertisements floating around, but you would think that's the only way they're going to be able to do it. So as soon as you log on, maybe you get a commercial or something in that sense like YouTube or just a banner.
Yeah, which, you know, I think most people will probably be fine with. It just all gets down to the reasons why people leave Facebook is because Facebook knows too much about you is the general concern.
Yeah.
And they're building these profiles for marketing purposes about you. And if this service offers an escape from that, I think it'll be very popular.
Yeah, the less involvement with those kinds of systems, the better I think we'll all feel. We don't need that much information about us out there.
The other possibility is that they would go to a subscription model too, which is something that people have asked for on Facebook. It's like, stop marketing my stuff. Just let me pay $5 a month to see an ad-free, untracked existence on Facebook, that type of thing. So that could be also their play as well once they have a certain amount of users on their system.
Interesting. So the final item that you have, and I'm really interested in this one, Apple's Find My Network locates iOS 15 devices, even if they're off or erased. How does this work?
Yeah, this is a really interesting thing. And I'm not quite sure how Apple's going to pull this off, but part of the iOS 15 beta that's out now for developers is a bunch of new upgrades to the Find My functionality. So you have live locations for your family and friends, right? So you can actually, if they're part of your family account, for example, you can actually see where your other devices are in your family. Again, you can opt in or out of that functionality, but you can even locate these when they're powered off because essentially they're kind of extending like the AirTag functionality that we've talked about before, where there's a very low energy Bluetooth functionality, sort of a beacon that's still kind of alive and or it'll triangulate the last known position of that device. So, but it's unclear, and Apple hasn't made it clear in their notes how they're actually doing this. If the phone is completely dead, is it completely off the network and you're relying on the last known good spot? Or is it something else that they're doing? Like maybe, you know, the last 1% of the battery is saved for the Bluetooth functionality. So it can actually, even though the phone's dead, it's still alive, pinging its location to people that walk by that have other iOS devices.
And I would really like to know how available that is to, say, law enforcement. That sounds like a potential massive invasion of privacy. If you think that once you've turned your phone off or your device off, that it becomes invisible, you could be wrong, right?
Well, no, because how this whole functionality works, and it's the same with the AirTags, is that it's an anonymous ping. It'll have some kind of unique code that will let your account know where that phone is, but someone else won't be able to see that details. Their phone would be basically a carrier for that message, but you're not going to get a notification if you walk by my dead phone on the ground saying, oh, there's John's phone. Your phone won't do anything other than relay the message to my account saying your phone's on the ground there. So they're also enabling separation alerts, which I think is really cool. So if you leave your phone, your AirTag or anything else, and you're away from it from a certain period of time, you're actually going to get a notification. And I think there's a couple different ways you can get notified. So it might be an email, it might be a push notification to your Apple Watch or something like that. And even locating after erase, the same functionality, unless you've deactivated it before you've erased your phone. So say someone steals your phone.
Yep.
They can wipe it, but they can't remove your Find My functionality in that device. So even after it's been wiped, if someone was to format it, start over again, there's going to be a notice on the main screen. So if they try to resell it, it's going to say, hey, this device is currently locked and it's locatable. And basically it will have your contact information to retrieve that information. So, retrieve that device, right? So unless you've specifically removed that device from your account, that device is essentially useless to a reseller.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it exactly, because somebody will come a looking somehow and that's what we know it's heading towards, of being able to find that to make someone say, just hesitate that much. John, thanks a lot, man. We're out of time. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Sounds great.
John Beeler of The App Show. You can find the show 4 p.m. Eastern right here on AMI Audio on Saturdays. He'll be back, as I mentioned, next Friday for our app update. Danielle and I are going to take a quick break. A popular tourist attraction in Eastern Ontario is finally reopening. Karen McGee, she's excited about it, and she has the scoop next on Kelly and Company. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.